Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather, mindful of how small man is and how great you are, and how we see even when we try to plan for things, and we do a really poor job apart from you. And so, Lord, the whole answer is turning to you, turning to you, turning to you, turning to you. And Lord, not just because of catastrophes in this life, but right around the corner for each of us is the last breath, believer and unbeliever, and eternity either with you or away from you. Help us not to lose sight. That's the main thing. So guide us this morning as we look at your Proverbs once again, and just really clear and straightforward for the most part. A lot of instruction, a lot of really, instructions to live and what to do and what not to do. And we know most of those, I think. It's not that we'll learn new things today, really. I don't think so much from the Proverbs as having reminders to ourselves that we're really not doing some of the things we should do, and we're really doing some things we shouldn't do. And Lord, all of those things separate us from you. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just wanted to, my mind came to, you know, with all of the questions on fires and the biggest disaster so far yet on record, at least totaling, is the Helene thing, the hurricane on the East Coast. That's $280 billion. But who knows how big this number will get here in Southern California from the fires. But the whole answer is turn to the Lord, turn to the Lord, turn to the Lord. Deuteronomy 30, if you read the first 10 verses of there, it's just a great summary of the blessings of returning to the Lord. And when we read those kinds of things, we can just see USA, or we can see California, or we can, whatever identification you want to make to the situation we're in, because we have turned away from the Lord. Ezekiel 18, 30 to 32, you know that well. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked is verse 32. Says the Lord, therefore turn and live. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel, or O house of California, or O house of whatever you want to name there? We need to turn to him, don't we? So may we have that foremost in our mind. And as we get to the more practical day-to-day things here in the Proverbs here in 15, we still have quite a few contrasts in here, not quite as much as we have been. Our but count is down a little bit from 32 to 28. Today it's only 22 times. But we still have 22 really direct contrasts here. When you see a but, it makes it really easy to focus on two things, what is good and what is not good, and what to do in the, as a result of that. But then there are some other things here that are not necessarily contrast, but we will see they speak to us just as well. The first verse today is a contrast. A soft answer turns away wrath. Now, what of those few words do you not understand? A soft answer turns away wrath. So why don't I use soft answers more? And why do I ever use a harsh answer? But a harsh word stirs up anger. So self-explanatory, but how are my words? Are my words stirring up anger? Or are they turning away wrath, turning away anger? Continuing on with the mouth tongue. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. So obviously the tongue of the unwise does not. But the contrast here we have in verse 2 is, but the mouth of the fools pours forth foolishness. It's so amazing how whenever somebody gets the mic in their hand on a video or wherever it is, it doesn't take very long for you to get the very quick impression. Is this coming from the mouth of the fool or from the mouth of the wise? Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Now again, aren't these easy to understand? Anything about that you don't understand? Keeping watch on the evil and the good. So how often is our behavior modified by the company we're keeping? We don't want to look bad in presence of man, right? I don't want my best friend to know what I'm really thinking. But God knows all the time, right? He knows all the time. Keeping watch on the evil and the good. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue. Again, we're really into the speaking here. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So how is this instrument of mine being used? James says it's the one thing we can't tame. But we also read of the fruits of the Spirit, the characteristics. One is self-control, right? We have control over our bodies. It's not that they shouldn't be out of control, although there are times when it seems like we are. But remember, a wholesome tongue is life. Perverseness breaks the spirit. A fool, verse 5, despises his father's instruction. What periods of your life were you the biggest fool? I hope it was back when you were a teenager. Oh, yes. That was the time when I was most convinced my father wasn't the wisest man in the world. But I soon changed that. It wasn't that his wisdom increased, it was my foolishness decreased. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. That was the problem. I was not receiving instruction with prudence. Verse 6, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure. Wow. I think that only isn't the house. I think it's the whole household. The household in our lives, in other words, of the righteous living, there is much treasure. Much treasure now and eternally. But in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Revenue of the wicked is trouble. There'll never be any peace for the unrighteous, for the wicked. Verse 7, that the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. So I wrote down, how about my lips? How about my heart? We're going to have heart used 5 verses here in today. Here's the first one. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Wow. How much do you pray? How much did I pray? Yesterday, day before. Prayer of the upright is his delight. So we got a direct comparison of wicked to the upright and an abomination to a delight. So think of the difference there. That is to the Lord. Verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the Lord loves him who follows righteousness. So there again we have the wicked and the righteousness contrasted, and we have abomination and love. Every time I see abomination, it kind of gets my attention, doesn't it? Can you think of any word more offensive to the Lord than an abomination to him? Verse 10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way. Your sin will find you out. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Now, I think that has eternal consequences to it more. I mean, all of us will die in these bodies, but he who lives and believes in me shall never die, right? Hell and destruction. Two things here are mentioned. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? Or the purpose and plan of humanity, I wrote down here, the hearts of the sons of the man. Health and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more is his heart for you and for me, for the sons of men, of what he has created us for? Verse 12, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. So, Lord, help me from being a scoffer. It doesn't go well. Another heart here, a merry heart. We have two merry hearts here. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. You know, for a while, I had a mirror on my desk so I could see my face when I was on the phone. But I finally got tired of looking at it, so I took it away. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. I think it's shocking sometimes if you look at yourself in the mirror and just, what is your confidence? What is it saying? But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Another heart in verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feeds on foolishness. Now there's a verse that would fit us anytime, all the time. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. When's the last time you're around somebody that just couldn't shut their mouth and everything that came out of it was foolishness? That's a very common thing, I guess, seems like. But the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who has a merry heart, another merry heart here, has a continual feast. Wow. Well, that's a contrast, isn't it? Evil days or having a continual feast. As I look at these contrasts, I kind of ask myself, do I have more room for the improvement on the good part or the bad part? I don't know. They go together, I guess. Verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Boy, we can relate to that, can't we? Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. And a fatted calf with hatred. Can you remember a time when you went to a meal and you were really angry? Maybe that never happens to you. But when it does, I can guarantee you, you're not going to enjoy the dinner. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. So I don't care how great the food is, if your heart is not right, it's not going to be good. 18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays or calms or quiets contention. Think about that. What is the impact of your presence in a situation? Do you stir up strife or do you calm and quiet contention? Blessed are the peacemakers, right? 19, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. Now, here's a contrast you can really visualize, it seems to me. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. A hedge of thorns. That doesn't sound very inviting, does it? A highway, I can envision a without traffic, I can't envision a clogged up freeway that way. But anyway, the way of the upright is a highway. Verse 20, a wise man makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Ooh. He not only makes his mother unglad, he despises his mother. A wise son makes a father glad. Wise, foolish, glad, despises. Quite a contrast there. Verse 21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. So, if you have no discernment, far from God, your enjoyment is going to be based on the wrong thing. It's going to be based on folly. But a man of understanding or discernment and discernment walks uprightly. Powerful, all these verses, aren't they? Verse 22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Come back to Isaiah 9:6, to our mighty God, wonderful counselor, who is our counsel at all times, has to be at the top of the list, has to be him. But other godly people are also good to have counsel with. Verse 23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Think of that timeliness of that. You know how good it is, timely, and you can see that happen. The Spirit will put on your heart something about somebody, and you either call them or see them whenever, and a good word can be really helpful, as well as a bad word, unhelpful, right? Miserable comforter, Job says. Verse 24, the way of life winds upward for the wise. So we can see that very clearly, going upward, that he may turn away from hell below. Very graphic. The way of life winds upward for the wise. Obviously, the unwise, it's the other way. Turn away from hell below. Verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, or the household again of the proud. But he will establish the boundary of the widow. He'll protect the widow, protect their boundaries. But he'll destroy the house of the proud. We kind of get proud in every week, don't we? Somewhere along the line, pride comes in there. So is your household filled with pride, or your life? Doesn't go well. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. There's our word again, abomination. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Wow. But, great contrast, the words of the pure are pleasant. A lot about words today, a lot about what just comes out of our mouth. But here's the thoughts as well. The thoughts are an abomination to the Lord. Words are pure, are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. But he who hates bribes will live. Wow, I love that. You know, we don't hear a lot about the honest people but we hear about a few. You know, I think about how last week it was so obvious that the Speaker of our House would not train votes for gain, for bribes. Because we got all these people lining up wanting positions and power and one thing and another. If they get it, they'll vote, and if they don't, they won't. But he made statements several times, I will not trade a vote for a favor. And he didn't have to trade. And when you say that and you mean it, it's a whole different situation than when, you know, we've all got our price, right? It just have to determine what the price is for bribery. We all have it, but I mean in that way. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. You ever think about your answer? before you say it? All too often, no, huh? The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Continuing on the wicked, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So I wrote down right now as I was reading this, how far am I from the Lord right now? I know the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So the distance you are from God right now is all on you. It's not on him, because he's always there. He never moves away from you. We move away from him. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. I think you could put the term messenger's eyes in there as well. The light of the message, the light of the messenger's eyes carrying a message, gives you hope. It rejoices the heart, doesn't it, when he's looking, hey, I got some good news for you. And a good report makes the bones healthy. Good report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Is your ear tuned to listen for his still small voice? The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Verse 32, he disdains instruction. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. So direct comparison between disdaining and heeding. Direct comparison between despising yourself, your soul, and getting understanding. Quite a contrast. Last verse today, 33, back to the fear of the Lord. We have that almost every time. Here is, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Of course, we had the beginning of wisdom, and we have different things with the fear of the Lord, but this week it's is the instruction of wisdom. Now, a general term on the fear of the Lord is those people who have a fear of the Lord are going to do right. The nations who consists of people who have the fear of the Lord is going to be a blessed nation. And obviously the converse of that is true. If there's no fear of God, there's nothing good going to come out of that. So we should pray for God-fearing in all of us, it seems to me. And back to humility again, before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Well, Father, we thank you for these Proverbs, and each one of them has a message for us, and some more timely, that something that needs to be fixed right now, and some of these things are just the way we want to walk. We want to be in your way. We want to be in your word. We want to be hearing from you every day. We want to be communing with you continually, close, close, close to you, in fear and admiration and just reverential awe of who you are. Thanking you for what you have done and are doing and will do for us. So, Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity here to come together for a few moments and just express what's on our heart to you. You already know, but may we express as you would lead us, Holy Spirit, in this time of prayer together, in Jesus' name. Wanted to just remind us here of what we're to do first is in the way of personal witness. We've already prayed about pastors to be given the right words and so forth. And here's what we're to do regarding Jesus speaking to the disciples, regarding the signs of the times and the end of the age. Very familiar passages, but let's just pay attention to this if we might. In Luke 21, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines, and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. That's quite a promise, isn't it?
Yes.
So what are we to do? We're to show up. We're to speak up. We're to demonstrate. Not through carefully prepared messages that are eloquent and all of that, but the truth that the Spirit would give us. And it says, we're to be the mouthpiece, right? We're not to be the source, we're to be the mouthpiece. And he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. And you will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your soul. Father, we thank you for such clear teaching, such clear instruction, and we see this world drawing closer and closer to that time. And Lord, we don't know the day or the hour, but we know we're getting closer. And whether the church is raptured in our lifetime or not, we don't know. Could well be today, could well be tomorrow. But we know one thing, 100 out of 100 will take their last breath. And we don't know when that is either, but we know that's for believers and unbelievers. So every unbeliever that you have put in our heart is one day closer to that choice of eternity than it was yesterday. And we don't have much time left. And Lord, I can't imagine a circumstance in Southern California that's a greater opportunity for witness than right now. You've made it very clear that all the things that we cherish so much and hang on to with such fervency can be taken away in a moment. And everything we have or everything we even wanted in the material realm will all pass away. Everyone will leave everything behind. Nobody will take anything. Whether they have one house, no house, or 100 houses, it'll all be left behind, all passing away. And that right now we would turn our hearts and minds to that which does not pass away, and that is you. And so what an opportunity, Lord, what an opportunity. I pray many today will come to salvation, Lord.
Yes.
And we do need to pray for compassion for them. But also even beyond compassion, the compassion is eternity in hell. That is millions times worse than having everything taken away in this life. And so, Lord, help us to keep our wisdom on the main thing, and that is their souls, Lord. And you have promised us He who lives and believes in me shall never die. How could we have a better message than that? There is no better message than that. So help us to deliver that message as you give us opportunity, Lord. And then, Lord, to pray for this nation. We've got such an opportunity right now, riding the crest of the gift that you've given us in the election and the reasoning behind what's wrong with this land to a large degree. And I know the House is working furiously as well as the Senate right now. And they hope by inauguration, that's only, 11 days away? Or what is it, 10 days away, whatever it is, a week from Tuesday. They hope to have a dozen bills approved ready for a president's signature on the day of inauguration. Already we've got a number of them already approved in the House. Thank you for that snowstorm, kept the people in town, how much work they got done this last week. And now is the time, while there's all enthusiasm, we see what happens when we have more time, we start to bicker and fight and so forth to get it done. So, Lord, help us to pray for that responsiveness, particularly over the next 100 days, but even over the next 10 days, Lord, that there would be much to be done right away in the very first week that President Trump would be inaugurated. We could write so many things. I know the border is at the top of the list. The economy is at the top of the list. So many different things there that they want to get done. And the voters have said, we want that. So, Lord, help us to be in prayer that your will be done. It's not the government. It's what that you will do through the government. It's not us, but it's what you will do through us. And help us to be praying for those that are in those positions that can make a difference in the laws and so forth of this nation. So we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And I just want to close with back to the heart again. Last week we said, give me a clean heart. And I almost wanted to do that again. But I thought, well, that's really good. And we should sing that again. But also, I was just thinking of just drawing near to the Lord. You know, we've had these Proverbs give us a full morning of what to do. I mean, there's so much instruction. I leave here like, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do, and that's all good. But also, I was just thinking of this old hymn, near to the heart of God, there is a place of quiet rest. Near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God, there's a place of full release. Near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. So let's stand and sing this hymn together, if we might. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And we know you promised to give us wisdom. You promised to put words in our mouth that we need to represent you. And help us to show up, Lord, for those appointments that you have for us, either in person or in prayer or quietly or whatever, Lord, but to respond. Be with each one here. I thank you for them. I thank you for their prayers. And may your will be done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.